Robbie, we can probably do this. They're watching us on X. So hi, everyone on X. Robbie, we're not on YouTube or Rumble. You know, Rumble Studio seems to be not working.
We're up.
Not on YouTube.
We have 372 people watching us on YouTube right now.
Okay, now I see the timer working. Finally. Okay.
Yeah, it's working now.
How about Rumble?
We're live on Rumble and YouTube. We are cooking with Crisco, as they say.
Okay. All right. In that case, I'm going to hit the button. Here we go. Good morning. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. It's Wednesday, April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2026. We're not going to do any April Fool's Day stuff here. Unfortunately, too much serious stuff to deal with. Thank you so much for joining us. John Kiriakou is out this morning, kind of unexpectedly, but he will be here for something that we're starting today, which is Monday and Wednesday. Today's the first time we're doing it. 12 noon Eastern time. We'll be doing an exclusive Q&A only Ask Us Anything episode. So for a full hour, if you have a question for us about any topic whatsoever, you can just call and we will, of course, obviously that's only in the live chat on Rumble and YouTube. So please go ahead and do that. Thank you for supporting the show. This is also Robbie West, our producer, will be filling in today. And thanks for doing that, Robbie. Full show, big lineup. So let me break it down what we're doing. We'll be talking about mainly the war in Iran. And just as we went on the air, like literally a minute ago, The Hill reported, Trump says Iran has asked for a ceasefire. I don't think I believe Donald Trump. I'm reading from the article. Trump says that Iran would consider the proposal once the Strait of Hormuz is open, free, and clear. Iran's new regime president, much less radicalized and far more intelligent than his predecessors, has just asked the United States of America for a ceasefire, Trump said in a post on his Truth Social. He did not reveal who the leader was. By the way, Iran's president has not changed at all. We will consider when Hormuz Strait is open, free, and clear. Until then, we are blasting Iran into oblivion, or as they say, back to the Stone Ages. I didn't realize that there was more than one Stone Age, Robbie. I thought there was one was enough, but I guess there was a plural, which leads us really into the lead story of today. And I want to thank producer Trent for the thumbnail that music fans will recognize as being from the Hunky Dory album by David Bowie, where Trump got Bowied about changes, right? So regime change, we all know what regime change is. And we all know that that's not what's happened in Iran. But Trump is clearly looking for a way out of the war. And he's now claiming that regime change has occurred. Also, Trump is currently considering a military mission to invade Iran by land and raid the buried uranium that has been enriched to 60%. One expert calls it one of the most risky and difficult operations the U.S. military has undertaken since the Second World War. So that'll work out great. Trump says that the U.S. could stop attacking Iran within 2 to 3 weeks, with or without reopening the Strait of Hormuz. So more mixed messaging. The IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, has issued a statement saying that if regime figures in Iran continue to be targeted, the IRGC will target assets belonging to private tech and defense companies operating in the Middle East. These would include companies like Hewlett-Packard, Cisco, Intel, Apple, Google, that kind of thing, Palantir. And finally, Palestinians in the occupied West Bank are very worried about this new hanging law for Palestinians that does not apply to Jews in the West Bank. They're worried that the ones who are in prison now could just start getting hung like next week. There's a 96% conviction rate in these military courts that hear these cases, and they have a history of extracting confessions under torture. And finally, you know, it's never a great idea when a man with German ancestry demands a list of Jews from a public institution or a private institution. But that's what the Trump administration has done, demanding that the University of Pennsylvania turn over a list of all of its Jewish faculty and administrators and students over to the federal government. A federal judge has ruled that actually that's not a problem, creepy though it may be.
Why would it be a problem? I mean, what could be wrong with people on lists being given to the government?
It's not like Jews on a list has ever been an issue in the past. So a little bit of housekeeping, actually a lot of housekeeping to do this morning. So for the Q&As that are directed directly towards John, particularly the super chats, those will be kicked over to the 12 noon hour today Eastern time when John is going to be here. And that'll be true for anything that we didn't get to yesterday. In the meantime, we're going to get to the other things that we can get to from yesterday. And anything that you want to ask me and or Robbie or just sort of comment, we will, of course, talk about here during this hour. And also one more thing. It's April 1st, which means it's the beginning of Robbie Aid. For people who are new to the show, what we do in order to be able to continue to afford to have a producer, which people who watch the show regularly know, Robbie plays a very important role here on the program, not just filling in when John is out or when I'm out, but also, keeping the show running smoothly when John and I are both at the microphone. So we can't afford him unless we can pay him. John pays $500 a month to Robbie. I pay $500 a month to Robbie. And we ask you guys to kindly kick in $1,000 a month total to Robbie. We do this through what we call Robbie Aid. This is a GoFundMe. So I'm going to put the URL up there right now. I'm going to do it again later in the show. But it's GoFundMe.com/F as in Frank/DProgramRobbie. And if that URL is a little awkward, as it is for you, as it is for me.
It is.
So just go to GoFundMe. Yeah, they should get rid of that F. Just go to GoFundMe.com and just look up Deprogram Robbie, one word, and he will come right up and it'll tell you exactly what to do. And thank you so much for that. Okay. Sorry for all the long-windedness, Robbie. Good morning.
You are a cartoonist, so you got to make up for the words that you have whenever you're not drawing. So it makes perfect sense.
True. Although I've always been accused of being a long-winded cartoonist. Over on X, John Smith is asking, is John okay? John is perfectly okay. 100%. Yeah,
now, he has had to travel early, and because the lines of the TSA are such a total cluster, when we were talking yesterday, we were just like, it's going to go to the airport, now we don't miss your plane. It's just like everything else in the country. It's falling apart. And we can't be bothered to fix our own problems. Instead, we have to wage war on behalf of some little pissant country the size of New Jersey instead of fixing our own problems.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. And although I'll argue with you about other things, Robbie, as you well know, but not that. I'm trying to think of what else we need to do. Oh yeah. So please kick into Robbie Aid and please put your questions in the live chat and Rumble and YouTube, and we will away we go. There was one more thing. People were asking about our personal little Pahlavist monarchist piece of shit stalker. We haven't heard from him. We don't really know if that's because of the fact that we reported him to the FBI or the fact that we did some things with the phone company or whatever, or did he just decide to grow a penis and start living a real life. I don't know, but the point is we haven't heard from him lately. So frankly, we appreciate that. So we don't really ever want to hear from him again. So Robbie, should we get to the first topic, regime change?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So the White House is clearly looking for a way out. They claim that regime change has already occurred. Here, I'll quote Pete Hegseth, this new regime, because regime change has occurred, should be wiser than the last. Then Trump says, we've had regime change, if you look, already, because the one regime was decimated, destroyed. Robbie, that's not regime change, is it?
No, I don't think that qualifies. I mean, also,
it's personnel changes.
Well, also, I mean, here's no, Trump said that the whole reason they went in is because Bibi told him to be good, a good little middle manager and go and destroy Iran's nuclear program. Well, as far as I know, Iran still has all of its fissile material. They still have all their enriched uranium. So if that was the goal, and if the Iranian government is still in place, and if Iran still has the nuclear material, then doesn't that mean that Iran has, what's the word, won?
Yeah, Iran, I mean, I think clearly Iran has won. And the thing is, why do you think the Trump administration is making this claim? I mean, are they just trying to say we're going to declare victory and leave? I mean, this reminds me a lot of what happened with Venezuela. I mean, in defense of Trump, I mean, it is true that he has changed the general posture of the Venezuelan government to one that is now supine, right? And is basically giving away its oil to the United States, has agreed to no longer ship oil to its ally, Cuba. So even though under the Venezuelan system remains the same, the police remain the same, there's no U.S. occupation, Venezuelan vice president has stepped up to be acting president, they still consider Nicolas Maduro, who is currently in U.S. custody, to be the legitimate legal president of Venezuela. Effectively, they have changed the policies of the Venezuelan government. Is that fair to call that regime change? And if so, is it fair to call any kind of change of personnel a regime change? I mean, Iran's not a monarchy, so I don't see how you can call it a regime change.
Well, it's not a regime change. I mean, the government is still in place. And also, if Trump is going on saying that Iran's been decimated, that we're winning. If that is true, then why are they signaling that they're going to invade Iran using ground forces? And by the way, one thing I want to point out, and I made this point on Facebook too, you know, we're in this war because of Israel. That is a statement of fact. So now the U.S. military, specifically the Marine Corps and the paratroopers, are preparing for an invasion of Karg Island. Meanwhile, our greatest ally, the only democracy in the Middle East, which never does anything wrong, says they will not send one single soldier to help us go fight in a war that they drug us into. With friends like that, who the hell needs an enemy?
Good question.
It is a good question. I like having answers. So for all the Zionists out there, all the bootlickers who just get down at the Star Rim fan and worship and tell me how, as a Christian, I'm obligated to support the Jews because they're God's chosen people. My son's 16. He turned 17 this year. I have a vested interest in this. Why is it the responsibility for my son, your son, and the sons of millions of other people to potentially go fight and die, again, for this pissant little pathetic country the size of New Jersey, on a war that they push us into, but they don't have the stones to send one soldier to fight with us?
Robbie, I'm working on a column this week that argues that that we are finally in a fascist society here in the United States. I never thought that until recently. I think the Iran war tipped us into it. War is sort of, if you look at students of fascism, like my old professor at Columbia, Robert O. Paxton, who wrote The Anatomy of Fascism, he argued that war is the logical culmination of fascism and that it destroys a fascist regime. Certainly that was true in Italy and Germany. The wars destroyed those two countries and their governments. Do you think I'm putting too fine a point on it, or do you think that's a fair assessment, that basically the logic of the Trump administration, you know, fascism is less about, it's a right-wing thing, but it's less about ideology than it is about a method of governance. Do you think it's fair to say that the logical culmination of, like, the scapegoating and the violence and the paranoia that went with Trumpism, and maybe maybe MAGAism to a second extent, but secondary level, but certainly Trumpism, that is a is the main reason that we are where we are at, and that basically it will bring down, if not the United States government, it'll certainly bring down Trump politically.
I don't know if it's fascism or not. It's definitely oligarchy. It's definitely a death of Republican small R government. Really, I think it has more to do with economics. I think that the debt is such that we can no longer write hot checks that the world can cover. And so in order to prop that up, we have got to solidify the position in the world energy markets. And I think that's really, at the end of the day, what this is all about, at least from a rational perspective. The problem is, though, is that if you're dealing with a country like Israel, which is not rational, that controls our government through its lobby, I don't know if rationalism is even baked into the cake. I mean, I can at least make the case that you go after Venezuela and Iran because you want total domination of those oil markets, specifically Iran, because Iran is one of China's largest suppliers of oil. If the whole idea is to contain Iran, that makes sense. The problem is, I don't see any rational thought here at all. I don't know what the end game is. I don't know what it looks like.
Okay. All right. Sorry. It's like a little hard to do, with Robbie is not the producer. And so he's not today. He's the co-host. And if you're just joining us, John Kiriakou is out. He's traveling. He will be here for the Q&A episode at 12 noon. So tune into that. All right. So let's talk about this mission. So Robbie, you're too young to remember this, but back in 1980, Jimmy Carter was dealing with the 444-day long Iran hostage crisis that ultimately was a major contributing factor to his losing his reelection campaign to Ronald Reagan. And he, desperate to get the hostages back, he authorized a hostage rescue mission. So he sent off helicopters to land in the desert near Tehran. And the idea was that they would, these commandos would sneak into Tehran and grab the hostages, snatch them out of the U.S. embassy that was being held by these Iranian students in Tehran. It was a disaster. A sandstorm came up. They had to flee. They never got anywhere close to where they needed to. And several soldiers died. It was a fiasco, and it was viewed as another example of Carter's incompetence and ineptitude. Now Trump is considering a mission to go to the site of where the U.S. Carpet bombed and dropped uranium depleted bombs on in the desert where the Iranians had their nuclear power program. Presumably, and we don't know this is true at all, the Iranians may have moved it, but presumably their stash of uranium is in there. It's been enriched. It's below the rubble. It's been enriched to 60%, which is very, very high. So, basically you're talking about the Trump administration wants to go in, dig a giant hole while they're taking Iranian fire, recover this extremely radioactive, dangerous substance and get out without getting blown up by the substance or by the Iranians or both. Sounds like the Jimmy Carter idea was a smarter and easier idea to pull off than this one.
Well, it would be because of Libya. I mean, how can I say this without sounding like a prick? Libya, throughout its history, has never really been a major power, even a regional power. It just kind of exists. It's just kind of there. Iran is a real country. And I've said this before. Iran was old when Rome was young. Today, Rome is gone. Persia is still there. I mean, this is a real country, a civilizational nation with a proud history, and more importantly, with a martial ethos. If you go against a people like that, I mean, Iran's been conquered in the past. Sure, that's the reason why Islam is their major religion now, not Zoroastrianism. But they are resilient and they're proud and they do this thing called fighting. They don't roll over. And I think that's why Trump doesn't understand. I think that the United States thinks that if you just go and blow stuff up, then that means that you win. I think it's a fundamental disconnect about what victory looks like from two different perspectives. I think that's the issue.
I think ultimately, I think the Iranians understand more about what makes the U.S. tick than the other way around. And you're really seeing it now, right, with the ceasefire talk. I mean, the United States is acting, they're just saying like, okay, if you reopen the Strait of Hormuz, we'll offer you a ceasefire. Okay, so that's ignoring the history of the United States negotiating not once, not twice, but three times with the Iranians and then sneak attacking them while they're negotiating. The Iranians have no reason, no way, no how to trust the United States. A ceasefire doesn't do them any good because they know the U.S. and the Israelis will be back for more bullshit later on. They have to keep fighting. They have to make sure that they bloody our noses and teach us a lesson that we will never forget. I think for the Iranians, this is now, you know, I don't think the Americans understand like, oh, well, now we can go back to a ceasefire. A ceasefire, you had a ceasefire. You chose to take a shit on your ceasefire. And now the Iranians have to win. They can't just survive at this point. I mean, although surviving, as John and I have talked about here, is victory, and they will survive, but they also have to thrive. They have to make sure that they hurt Iran. They have to hurt Israel and the U.S. and their allies and their economic interests enough to make sure that the whole world pressures the U.S. and Israel to never attack Iran again.
Well, it's that, and also one thing that I just want to just kind of point out is that as long as the sanctions are in place, we have a stranglehold on Iran. So before I would ever sit down to have a conversation with the United States, I would insist that those sanctions be lifted first. Otherwise, all we're doing is just strangling them. So what Agreed. Does Iran get out of it?
Oh, I would insist on full diplomatic relations, too. Like everything. You know, we exchange ambassadors, like, you know, and you need a treaty obligation, right? You need the U.S. to go. You need Trump to go to Congress and get the Senate to ratify a treaty that says that the United States will not attack Iran. Now, obviously, that's not something that the Israelis would agree to, but I think probably for the Iranians, it would be enough to get the U.S. on their side, because Israel doesn't do. I know they're control. They're guiding this, but Israel's not going to do boo without the U.S. I mean, they're a welfare state. They belong to us.
Isn't that an indictment about how pathetic our government is? I mean, think about that for a second. Israel is our client, which is how it is.
Our biggest client.
Which on paper is correct. Then how is it that they control the United States? I mean, who is whose client at this point?
Well, they're manipulating the United States, but they're not controlling the United States. I think, they're behind the scenes. We got a lot of questions to deal with.
No, for sure. No, I'm going to push back on you right there a little bit, Ted. I think they 100% are controlling us. We are engaged in a war that is not in our interest in any way, shape, or form. The United States gets nothing out of this war. Nothing. One shape or form. It would be in America's interests to open relations with Iran and be trading with them. But we can't do that because 100%. Israel controls our Congress and our president through its lobby. And if you point that out, then they go and start swinging you're anti-Semitic club, which I don't care what you call me at this point. As long as you can't call me a liar, I'm good with that. I don't care. But that's what they're doing. No, they 100% control us. We are a conquered nation. We've been conquered by the power of the U.S. dollar and the fact that our government is ran by a bunch of cheap whores.
But you and I both know if Israel ceased to exist tomorrow, the U.S. would be, we'd be more successful. We'd have more friends in the Middle East. We would have more alliances. Trump would have more hotels in the Middle East. I mean, it would all be good. It is a ridiculous arrangement. Robbie, you ready to take some questions? And I guess another question is, do we have an ad?
I will find us an ad. I got one more. I got a couple more chats to drop in. But yeah, let's go take some questions. That'll take a little
bit. All right, I'll do some. Let me do a little record keeping here. All right, housekeeping. Lorelei Roger, thanks for the $4.99. This is a question about Bustamante in Athens. Let's kick that, Robbie, over to the Q&A show, which is starting at 12 noon today. So stay tuned for that.
And Sneaker Dad had one left over from yesterday up above.
I see that. All right. So first question was, the U.S. shot down Iran Air Flight 655 from Tehran on July 3rd, 1988 by two surface-to-air missiles fired by the USS Vincennes. Why do we never talk about this? And you can tell me your memories of this incident. I do remember this. I don't know if you remember it, Robbie. I think you're too young for that, too. But basically, there was a U.S. Warship. I think it was a destroyer, the Vincennes. And famously, the captain of the ship was downstairs taking a dump when basically the radar saw that there was this Iranian this Iran airplane flying over the Persian Gulf. The Vincennes decided to fire, and they shot down a bunch of civilians. If you've watched, Robbie, any of these awesome Iranian Lego propaganda
videos,
I love them. Can't wait. Every morning I wake up, I want to see a new one. Anyway, at least one of them alludes to Iran Air Flight 655, and it talks about how this Iran is trying to avenge those victims, who were never compensated, by the way, by the United States. It was one of those, like, it's the U.S., we're impervious to responsibility. It's like being Rene Good or Alex Preddy. Sucks to be you. We don't give a shit. Nothing's going to happen. And nothing did happen because, in the, you know, the United States might makes right. A second question is, as a sailor who combated piracy, I can tell you that the Houthis joining this fight changes the game. The Bab el-Mandeb is more dangerous than the Strait of Hormuz. You not only have to worry about Houthis, you have to worry about Eritrean rebels on the waters as well. And also you have to worry about Somali pirates on the other side of it, on the southern side of the Gulf of Aden, right? So that's, as John pointed out yesterday, that entrance to the Red Sea is only about 9 miles wide. And it is much narrower than the Strait of Hormuz. It's uncontrollable. If you have both of those passageways shut down, you're affecting anywhere between 40 and 45% of all global oil and a lot of container ships. I mean, you're going to start. I mean, I wanted to buy some jeans the other day. You literally can't get them in my size anymore because the supply chains are starting to break down. And I don't have an unusual size. Maybe that's the problem. I don't have an unusual size. But anyway, so that's left over from yesterday. Robbie, we should show. Well, let's do a few more questions, too. So let's see. Thank you very much for the Mustafa for the $1.99. Much appreciated. Over on Rumble, thanks for the dollar, man child. Good morning, retards. How can the world stop the Israeli government from completing its ironic de-evolution from Holocaust survivors into Judeo-Nazism? Well, it's, I think, pretty complete. I mean, this would be a good segue to talk about this hanging law that we talked about yesterday. So under this law that's just been passed by the Knesset, and in fairness, is expected to be overturned by the Israeli Supreme Court, but that's not a sure thing. And I think Netanyahu is going to sign this law. Palestinians in the West Bank, but not Israeli Jews, face automatic death by hanging under this apartheid law for anything, any kind of act of violence or murder committed in what they call terrorism. And terrorism is pretty much just like anything that the military tribunals say it is. They find Palestinians guilty 96% of the time. By the way, they decided to choose, you'll like this, the reason they're doing hanging, Robbie, is because too many Israeli doctors refuse to do lethal injections because those are considered unethical. So they're like, well, we won't have to have doctors involved. We'll just hang them old style. Yeah,
that's part of it, but I think that probably, if you read the Old Testament laws, like, it's considered to be a cursed death if you're hung from a tree. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus was crucified. I mean, he was hung from a tree.
Soldiers didn't want to be hung right at the end of World War II. They wanted to be shot.
To be shot is a more honorable way to go. So, maybe there's some Jewish doctors who are kind of up in arms about it, but with the hardcore rabbis and stuff who are in control of Israel's government, I would not be surprised that they're looking back at Mosaic law saying, we're going to make this as humiliating and dishonorable a death as possible.
Thank you. How does the world stop them? I hate to say it. I don't see the Israelis responding to anything but brute force. If they were cut off economically and maybe threatened militarily in a credible way by the international community, maybe. But then they have 100 nuclear weapons, Robbie.
Yeah, they do. But you know what? That's okay. We'll deal with it.
It's not okay. I mean, well, I guess the question is, does Israel have ICBMs? I don't know the answer to that. Arian Gordy, thanks for the $4.99. Good morning. Was wondering how you both feel about the current state of healthcare in this country. P.S. Love David Bowie and you guys, especially Robbie. I love David Bowie too so much. Robbie, I think you have thoughts about the current state of healthcare that are extremely pertinent to your current situation.
Well, it's a complete disaster. Our healthcare system is a complete joke. Insurance should be abolished. I mean, but we should have a single payer healthcare system. That's one of the places that me as a right winger, 100% and am on Team Ted on this. It is insane. What we have right now is not a capitalist system. We have a hybrid system where the profits are privatized and the losses are spread among the masses. Basically, they're socialized. And that's completely backwards to what needs to be done. Like, you know, the stuff that went on with my wife when she had to go in and have her surgery and the medical and her medicine and stuff, fighting with the insurance. It is a complete disaster. But we can't have nice things because there's no money to be had, you know, by actually, you know, having a fair healthcare system in this country. As then you're going to disenfranchise a big pharma and their lobby. So we're not going to have any kind of change. We're not having any kind of reform, and we need it desperately.
Robbie, did you find that ad?
I did. I'm going to pump you up right now.
All right. Thanks for joining Deep Program with Ted Rall and John Kiriakou. Robbie West filling in. 12 noon, John Kiriakou will be not flying, and he will be attending the Q&A. First, we are doing Q&A shows for a full hour, Mondays and Wednesdays, 12 noon Eastern time. And let's see. And as soon as we have that ad,
it is up for you now, Ted.
Okay, here we go. Thank you, Robbie. All right. You've probably noticed Rumble is growing fast and it's not slowing down. They're building a real alternative to big tech that puts creators first and actually protects free speech. And now there's Rumble Premium, an easy way to upgrade your experience. With Premium, you get ad-free viewing across the platform. No pre-rolls, no interruptions, just the content you came for. Plus, premium members unlock exclusive content like bonus videos, behind the scenes drops, and more from your favorite creators. Right now, Rumble is offering a $10 off an annual subscription. Just go to rumble.com/premium and use the promo code studio at checkout. That's rumble.com/premium, promo code studio. No ads, more freedom and content you actually care about. That's the deal. All right. So, more questions. Let's do them. Yes. Okay. Pachismo, thanks for the $4.99. Hi, Ted. I'm an Ivy League dropout. Me too. And was, although I did ultimately go back and finish up, that was paraded around as a DEI inclusion and find your lack of censorship refreshing. Don't let fans dictate you. Thank you very much. Jack Samuels, $34.80. Thanks for the $1.99. Thoughts on Christy Noem's husband cross-dressing? Do you know anything about this?
I guess he was walking around wearing prosthetic boobs and stuff. So if that's the case, I can see why she decided to make him a cuck.
Is that true?
I can't verify it, but there's pictures of the prosthetics all over the internet and stuff.
Well, you know, cross-dressers aren't usually gay. They're usually straight.
I'll take your word for it. I don't know, but I'm just saying.
I don't know personally. I'm just telling you what I've read.
I don't know. I've never tried it. I've never had that vice. That's not me.
Like wearing dainty under things has never been something I've been interested in. I don't actually understand. Like, you know, women's stuff looks so uncomfortable. Like
it does.
Like a thong. Like, oh my God, I wouldn't want something thin like that up my buttocks or like you know, heels. The shoes look like torture devices. When I was in high school, we had hazing still. And for marching band, and for like a week, I had to wear fucking late. That was my sentence, to wear high heels around the school, and as a freshman, and it was like, I wasn't humiliated. It just hurt my feet like a bitch. I was like, I don't understand how you guys dress this way. Their clothes don't have enough linings. I was like, it's being a woman sucks. Anyway, Alex Bringlow, thanks for the £9.99. What's Trump likely to announce tonight? Yeah, Trump is speaking to the nation. I think really, finally, truly, this is the first real like Oval Office. I don't, I don't know if he's speaking from the Oval, but either there at the Treaty Room or the Map Room, where he's going to actually take this war seriously. What's he likely to say? I mean, I guess question one: will it be a speech or will it be a series of rants? I think it'll be a speech, Robbie. What do you think?
If they're able to control him, I would think it would be a speech. It just depends on if he goes off script or not. I think it'll probably be a speech. I think what he's going to do, he's going to go in, he's going to make the case for how the United States has won this overwhelming victory against Iran, despite the fact we haven't achieved any of the goals that were set out at the start of this. And he's going to talk about how Iran had better shape up. And I think he'll also take a pot shot at Europe, our so-called NATO partners, for not going in and assisting us in a war that we did not even consult them on before we started it.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, why do you think he's doing this? Why did he not do it before when it would seem like more obvious to do it? And why do it now? I mean, I think I want to answer that second question last, but I want your answer on it too, Robbie. I think he's in trouble. I mean, Donald Trump knows how to read polls. He sees the economy is in trouble, and like he can only manipulate the economy so much. And now he knows he's got some explaining to do, right? Like he's got to try to save this from getting worse. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this mission's as impossible for Donald Trump as getting that uranium, I think.
I think what it is, I think that he realizes that the economy is now in recession, whether the people want to admit it or not. I think we've been in recession now for like 6 months, maybe a year, and we've just been juicing the numbers. I mean, that's why there's no job growth.
That's right. Yeah. It's like it's a no hire, no fire situation, but now there's firing too, and people are dropping out of the labor force. They're expiring. Their unemployment benefits are expiring. This is a good luck looking for, it was hard to find a job 2 years ago. Good luck finding one now.
It's just a complete disaster. So I think that's part of it. And people don't realize this. If you go to the grocery store and you buy yourself a package of meat, that plastic that covers that meat, that's made from the byproducts of oil that we import from the Straits of Hormuz. So Trump is right. No, we're not getting the oil, but we are getting the byproducts, the asphalt. We're getting the fertilizer. Plastics. We're getting the fertilizer. So to say that this does not impact us is 100% lie.
Not to mention it's a global oil market, right? So even the oil itself, like the mere fact that like oil, there's only so much oil and there's a certain number of customers. And it's kind of like, if you buy something, if you and I are both vying for the same limited supply, obviously the price is going to go up.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is, at the end of the day, they can spend this as much as they want. Our economy has been sick now for a long time. It's getting sicker. And there's only so many ways that you can put lipstick on that pig to try to make it look like it's not as bad as it actually is. No, Trump can come out there on TV and say, listen, everything's fine. He can go full on Joe Biden and say, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't look at the cost of living going up. That's one of the biggest disagreements I have with you. We need deflation. We need lower prices, at least to be on caliber to where wages are. Wages have not gone up, whereas the cost of living has gone up consistently 2 to 4% every year for the last 20 years. We need deflation. We need a reset. I understand your argument. But at the end of the day, though, prices keep going up, but wages don't. You're going to get the collapse one way or the other anyway. So why not going for a soft landing? I think that's what Trump is starting to realize now is that the game is up.
Yeah, well, I have to admit, I'm not going to watch live, but I'll watch it all, tomorrow morning early before the show, so I know what's going on. I can't stay up and watch that.
I'll probably stream it on my Rumble channel if anyone wants to come by and we could roast this bastard together. That'd be fun.
All right. Well, that's worth the, all right. I'll consider that. Dirty Pest 44. Thanks for the $9.99. Good morning, Ted and Robbie. Wondering if you two watch the panels on Pierce and Morgan. The debates are fascinating, and it's always fun to hear John school these lunatics. Would love to get John's thoughts too. Well, we'll save that one for John. I don't watch it. How about you?
I watch them. I watch it. It's fun. It really is like a Jerry Springer. People just start yelling and screaming at each other. And it's, if you're going there to try and learn something, you're going to the wrong show. But if you're just going just to watch a bunch of people just get into a verbal smackdown, it's a good time.
Sounds old school. Very 90s. Yep. Kev, thanks for the very generous $19.99 donation. Good morning, Ted and Robbie. Really enjoy the show. Question for Rob. I was wondering if you served in the military. If this was answered before, I apologize.
Nope, I never have. I come from a military family. I did not join the military, mostly because of the stuff my dad told me about his service in Korea. And I was considering it. And one of the best pieces of advice my daddy ever gave me was, Robbie, don't do it.
I told my son that, you know, he could do anything he wants. He can become gay. He can become trans. He can become a right-wing Republican. Anything you want, business person, play football, anything that I'm not into. Listen to Lionel Richie. Anything. Do not join the fucking military. No. James Kelly, thanks for the $5. I don't know, but I feel like we're seeing the end of Nazi power, and Iran is our Russia. Vilmar, thanks for the $2 Canadian. Did you see Trump's latest post, invasion coming? Yeah. Yeah, we just talked about that. Obviously, look, John's pointed this out. You don't send carrier groups and Marines and all that, you know, to the other side of the planet if you don't intend to use them. Clearly, they're gonna try to seize Karg Island, and it's not going to look good. It's not gonna be good.
No, it's gonna be a disaster. I mean, amphibious invasion is one of the hardest things that you could possibly do. The last time the United States has ever been involved in an operation like that at scale was World War II in the Pacific. And so geography has a role. So you have to send these Marines over either into Kuwait from the disembark there or try to take them up through the Straits of Hormuz, which is not going to work. They're going to be eating fire the entire freaking way. And when you get to the island, how do you resupply them? Logistics matter.
Right.
This is a thing.
Yeah, no, that's a thing. I think it's going to be a fucking fiasco. Robbie, what about this threat from the IRGC to attack like data farms and other facilities, distribution centers for these giant American-based tech companies like Meta, IBM, NVIDIA, Tesla, Boeing, and so on? Yeah, I think that's a pretty potent threat.
Well, they already started this morning. I sent the link to you on the TMI show. They hit the Batelco headquarters in Hamala, Bahrain. So they've already started, and that is one of Amazon's data hubs. They've already started.
Well, I think it's a big deal. Do you agree?
Of course. Listen, Iran cannot defeat us militarily. No one with a brain would ever entertain that.
Asymmetric warfare. Thing.
They are waging economic war. Mm. That's how they're able to hit us. If you have a country that's $37 trillion in debt, and keep in mind, our country, we don't manufacture anything anymore. We have to import everything. So what do you need to import? Ships. What do ships need to move? Oil. What does no one have right now except for the Russians? Oil. So, I mean, this is how they win.
Right, right. Sorry, I get a little distracted here, trying to read through the scroll. Inebriety Talker, as a former leftist atheist, I can say I like Robbie's honesty, how direct he names the shit which bothers him, and his loyalty. Hear, hear. Yes, please, 6260. People who cry anti-Semitism for calling out the Israeli government are actually the ones being wildly anti-Semitic, because Netanyahu and the Israeli government don't represent all Jewish people. Not even close, right?
No.
Kuwaiti airport, thank you, Gonk, for the $1.99, has been hit in Lagos City. That brings up an interesting, a fun thing. So you guys have seen the Iranian Lego videos. They're all over the place. Maybe some of you have seen some of these Chinese kung fu videos that are that have also been on the internet, but they're not as prominent. They haven't made as big a splash. Part one of this Valley of Gold Kung Fu thing came out a couple of days ago, and now part two is out. You don't really have to watch part one to get part two, so we're just going to go ahead and play that. Here we go.
我连和谈的地方都选好了，没谈过假新闻。别装了，周日那天我提着两箱牛奶上门，咱俩明明促膝长谈了大半夜，没有了事儿，谈了没谈，真的谈了，信口雌黄。
That's fun, but the Legos is better.
The Legos is better. It's definitely, but you know, it's worth seeing. I love the Persian cat.
Don't get me wrong. It was funny. It was good. I just think that I think here's the biggest thing, and this has got to be a blow to Trump's ego. The fact that he is now the biggest joke on the world stage, because he is. I mean, if you're a narcissist like that guy is, that's got to sting.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the thing is, speaking of which, right, like the Iranians are characterizing him as a loser, L-O-S-E-R. And that, it shows that to me, like the Iranians really understand Trump as well as the United States. Like our cultures intersect a lot more. That Venn diagram is a lot bigger. I mean, obviously, Chinese culture is very different from American culture. So they don't quite get us as the same way. It's super interesting to see how they can tap into that. Yeah, it's got to be tough for Trump. I mean, you know, I think the logic of his approach to governance, like, you know, take no prisoners, make no compromises, you know, basically pretend like you represent the entire country and, you know, Democrats aren't Americans, only Republicans, only MAGA Republicans, only MAGA Trump Republicans are real Americans. It logically is going to lead you to this kind of, you know, you end up fighting this war pretty much by yourself. And you know what? You own it all by your fucking self because you have no allies. I mean, even in your own country, I mean, he can't even drag the Republican Congress down with him because they didn't sign off on it.
No, he didn't even consult them.
No.
So, I mean, honest question, Ted, and I mean this sincerely. Why do we have a Congress if they don't do anything? What's the goal? What's the point? What do they do? I mean, apart from Lindsey Graham going to Disney by himself with his pink lollipop. I mean,
yeah, what's that about? What was he doing there? Do you have any idea? I couldn't figure it out.
I don't know. I think the dude's a pedo. I can't prove it, but I think he is. I think he diddles.
Wouldn't be shocking. I mean, look, it's not. No one's going to, let's just say if that turned out to be true, no one's going to say, not Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Let's see. Oh, thank you so much, Michelle Rosie, for reminding us, don't miss the argument for birthright citizenship. Yeah, we're going to be talking, the U.S. Supreme Court is about to hear oral arguments in Donald Trump's executive order banning birthright citizenship. Robbie, you and I disagree fervently on the constitutional interpretations of this case, as well as the underlying ramifications of it. I mean, I think it's very clear this is settled law. I'm pretty sure the Trump administration will lose 9-0, even in front of this very friendly Supreme Court. I don't think they're going to get rid of birthright citizenship. But I think, you know, people need to look at countries where they don't have it, like France, which I'm a citizen of, where they have first, second, third, fourth generation illegal immigrants who have no place to go back to because they're not really from anywhere but France, but they're second class citizens. They can't really work legally. They're always living in the shadows. I mean, birthright citizenship creates problems, but it lack of birthright citizenship creates more problems.
No, 100%, you're 100% wrong. I mean, listen, if the Supreme Court, if they adjudicate this the way that the 14th Amendment is written, then they'll come down Team Robbie. I think that you're right. I think Trump is going to lose. This is one place where Trump, I can't believe I'm actually going to say this, is right, because he is. That the 14th Amendment had to do with freed slaves, had nothing to do with immigration at all. And the case I made for this, for a historical precedent, was Indian Territory, the Dakota Territories were all under the jurisdiction of the United States when that amendment was ratified. Indians who were born there were not American citizens. So I don't know how you're able to overlook that historical fact when it comes to birthright citizenship or people who have no right to be here in the first place. Because the Indians, let's face it, they were here first. So if they're not citizens when they're born here and territories were claimed by the United States, then how does that give citizenship to some lady who comes over here, pops a squat, fires out Junior, and then he has citizenship? That is an inaccuracy you have to explain to me.
Well, the thing is that there was that case in 1898 with the Chinese American dude that kind of settles this whole thing. I mean, it's about implication, but I think it's considered settled law. Of course, we thought Roe v. Wade was settled law.
No, did I lose Ted? Hey, it's the Robbie Show now. Ted is frozen. Awesome. So I know what Ted is going to be talking about. I can't remember what the name of the Chinese dude was. I don't have it here in front of me. But basically, he went to China. He came back. And if I remember right, he was going to be deported. And he was able to argue that he was that he should be able to have citizenship because he was here legally in the past. Where Ted and me disagree on is what determines how someone becomes a citizen. It's the argument that I make, because the 14th Amendment, let's be honest, it was a very poorly written amendment. It talks about if you're born in territory that's the jurisdiction of the United States government, of the U.S. government. The argument that I make is that in 1865, when this amendment was ratified, the Indian territories were under the jurisdiction of the United States government. That is a undeniable fact, but they were not considered U.S. citizens. The whole reason that amendment was even written was to grant citizenship to freed slaves. It had nothing to do with someone coming across the Rio Grande or a baby tourism and that kind of thing. Could it have been written cleaner? Yeah, it should have been. It's vague. But in the context of the time.
Created that opening.
But in the context of the time, though, that's what I'm saying, is that the Constitution is not a living document. It's a dead one. It means what it says. It says what it says.
That's not what the Founding Fathers thought, though, Robbie. I do want to answer the rest of these questions if we can. But the Founding Fathers were very clear that they thought the document should evolve and over time, and that it should be subject to new interpretations as society changes.
Well, of course, that's why we're able to amend the Constitution. It's difficult to do. You got to have the buy-in of 3/4 of the states, but you're able to do it.
Robbie, speaking of which, for the first time in U.S. history, The President of the United States will be sitting in the audience for these oral arguments in this birthright citizenship case. Donald Trump has just arrived at the Supreme Court to do that. He had threatened to do that, but now he's doing it. It's always been viewed as something that the a sitting president ought not to do, because it would be viewed as an interference with the judiciary.
Well, it's just,
I mean, he has the right to, obviously.
Yeah, no, it is. And listen,
it's tacky.
Well, it's tacky, but it's Trump. What about him? Is it tacky? He has gold toilets.
True.
Mean, he does tacky. But at the end of the day, though, no, Trump's going to lose on this. Really, it's, I think the nation as a whole is going to lose on this. Either we have laws or we don't. Either we enforce the laws or we don't. And really, what needs to happen is that, well, at this point, I don't know if it matters. People need to start focusing more on local elections and rile with the federal government as a total loss.
Well, that is a bigger topic for another time, because you've only got a few minutes left, Robbie. And by the way, I want to take issue with a few of the people in the chat who were saying that we kind of lie about whether John's going to be here or not. We have never lied about whether John's going to be here or not. We always tell you exactly what we know, and we knew. And we told you throughout the show, John's not going to be here in this hour, but he will be here at 12 noon Eastern time. So that's, it's, if you don't like me, you don't like Robbie, or you don't like both of us, you know, you don't have to stay here. It's fine. It's a big internet. But we do hope you stay. But we wouldn't, you know, John tease you to keep you around. Okay. So, yeah.
Now he'll be here later on today for the call-in show. And listen, at the top of the show, when we first started, we explained that he was having to travel and he had to go to the airport early because the TSA lines are so crazy and insane.
That's right.
If John's travel schedule is an impediment to you, maybe you need to get yourself a life.
That's true. Not to mention, there have been a couple of times where we weren't sure whether John would be able to join us because he was flying in somewhere and he would try to get off the plane. And sometimes that's happened and sometimes it hasn't happened. But again, we're clear about being our certain. If we're certain about being uncertain, we tell you about that too. DCAS, thanks for the $9.99. As a respiratory therapist of 22 years, God bless you, I have asthma. The money being spent on this war could not only improve and upgrade healthcare services, but make it affordable and even free for some groups. No question about that. Meow, meow, meow. Thanks for the $1.99. Please have John spell out iCup. And since Trump, Manchild, thanks for the buck, has effectively torched our global reputation, as the damage to our alliance is now permanent. We're actually a way back. That's a big question. Robbie, let's make that the first question in the Q&A at 12 noon Eastern time with John Kiriakou and myself. And Robbie, you'll be sitting in as well. It's all Q&A. Ask us anything you want. That's live in 2 hours. Please stay tuned right now for the TMI show with Ted Rall and Manila Chan. That's coming up right now. Robbie, thank you so much for filling in for John. And we will see all of you guys back for the regular show at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern time tomorrow, Thursday, April 2nd. Thanks.